Okay, blessings to you, and thank you for being a part of this recording today. I'm so excited because I want to pour into Christian leaders, and I want to pour into pastors, to church leaders, to men and women that are Christian leaders, entrepreneurs that want to apply Christian principles to what they're doing. I want to talk to you today about being used by God. Being used by God. I love the scripture, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's beautiful scripture. In the King James, I love the wording there. It says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then in verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship. We are his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Basically, it says that we were saved to do good works. We were created to do good works. We were created to be used by God. Years ago, I read a book, Just As I Am, by Dr. Billy Graham. And Dr. Billy Graham, who about a year and a half ago graduated with honors and went on to heaven, said in this book, he said, "I've often said that the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is to ask, why me, Lord? Why did you choose a farm boy from North Carolina to preach to so many people, to have such a wonderful team of associates, and to have a part in what you were doing in the latter half of the 20th century?" I want to say, God wants to use people. God wants to use you. The little poem I love to quote says, "Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell him how he died. He has no help but our help to bring men to his side." God wants to use people. D.L. Moody was a man that was used greatly by God. Really an uneducated man. A man that was actually never ordained. But God used him greatly. I remember reading a story about a certain location, demographic of people that were wanting to have a crusade. And they were meeting to discuss the evangelist. And several people mentioned D.L. Moody, D.L. Moody, D.L. Moody. And one lady spoke up and said, "I want to say something. D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit." And another man said, "Yes, you're correct. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him." D.L. Moody, in his own words, said, "I know perfectly well that wherever I go to preach, there are better preachers known and heard than I am. All that I can say about it is, the Lord uses me." Rick Warren said, "Get usable, and God will wear you out." I want to say something to you. I don't know what your role is, but I want you to know emphatically today that God wants to use your life. God wants to use your life in a unique, wonderful way. Now, there was a man in the Bible. His name was Saul. He was a man that was used by God. There's a couple, three things I just as framework I'd like to say about Saul. First of all, Saul was chosen by God. Yes, it was Samuel went down. He anointed Saul. 1 Samuel 9:15-16, we know that Saul was chosen by God. And I want you to know today, you're chosen by God. Saul was chosen by an omnipotent, omniscient God. I want you to know something else about Saul. Saul started out strong. He had a brilliant start in 1 Samuel 10:6 and 1 Samuel 10:9-10. I mean, he started out well. Things was going well. Saul was having a wonderful ministry. But then the third thing I want you to know about Saul is God rejected Saul. God removed his blessing. God removed his anointing, his presence from Saul's life and ministry according to 1 Samuel 15:26 and 1 Samuel 18:12. Somebody said that if the Holy Spirit was removed from the churches in America, 90% of them on Sunday would not have to change a thing. If the Holy Spirit was removed from the churches in America, 90% of them would not have to change a thing. In contrast, the New Testament church was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. See, having the fear of God, walking in the fear of God, is not fearing that God will place His hand upon you in retribution, in discipline. Walking in the fear of God is living in fear that God would ever remove His hand. Because if God removes His hand on our lives, on our ministries, anything and everything that we will do will be vanity and vexation. Now here was a man, Saul, that was used greatly by God. But God removed his hand. And what I want us to look at, I want us to look at the process to Saul not being used by God in light of the fact earlier in his life he was used by God. Five or six things I want you to see about Saul. First of all, he put himself above the Word of God. See, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And only the priests from the tribe, only the priests who were from the tribe of Levi could offer up burnt offerings in the temple. But according to 1 Samuel 13 and 9, Saul did this. And in 1 Samuel 13 and 13, God said, Saul, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. What did he do? He thought because he was king, he was above the word of the Lord. And I want you to know, pastors, I want you to know, Christian leaders, we're not above the word of the Lord. I mean, the principles of the Bible are for all people. If you're going to preach tithe, then you tithe. I mean, if you're going to preach from the pulpit and try to reach people for Christ, we ought to be personally, one-on-one, trying to reach people for Christ. Let me tell you something. He got in trouble when personally he put himself above the Word of God. Let me tell you the second thing that led to his downfall. He took himself way too serious. He took himself way too serious. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the worst thing that can happen to a man is to succeed before he's ready. It's when we take ourselves way too serious. See, I think it's healthy when we can learn to laugh at ourselves because that shows maturity in our lives. We get in trouble when we take ourselves way too serious. See, let me say, I believe this. I've got a big job, but I'm not big. And you've got a big job, but you're not big. We're just ordinary people with an extraordinary calling and responsibility. We get in trouble when somehow we take ourselves way too serious. There's a third thing I want you to notice about Saul. He did what he felt. Somebody said it feels so right. Well, it can feel so right and be so wrong. 1 Samuel 13 and 12 says, when he was offering up this sacrifice, he felt compelled. But I want you to know something. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I feel compelled. God's Spirit will not contradict His Word. Because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that's correct. There's a fourth thing I want you to know about Saul. He was accountable to nobody. He was supposed to be accountable to Samuel, but he wasn't. And when you hear someone say, I'm accountable to God, I want you to know something. That person is on the brink of a great crash. When a person is accountable to nobody, you're on the brink of a great crash in your life and in your ministry. Now, to be accountable, you have to submit to those who know all about you and are unafraid of you. Because they won't be transparent with you unless you are accountable to those who know all about you and are unafraid of you. The second thing, you have to listen to their rebukes and heed them. You have to listen to their rebukes and heed them because there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And number three, you have to do nothing in secret that they do not know about. Do nothing you know they would disapprove of. Years ago, James Dobson, and these go back in time, but they're still wonderful accountability questions. James Dobson gave seven accountability questions that are good for an accountability partner. Number one, have you this week been in a situation with a woman that may seem compromising? Or have you been in a situation with a man, if you're perhaps female? Number two, have your financial dealings this week been conducted with integrity? Number three, have you exposed yourself to any pornography this past week? Four, have you spent adequate time in scripture and prayer? Five, have you spent priority time with your family? Six, have you fulfilled all the mandates of your calling or vocation? And number seven, have you just lied to me? Let me tell you the fifth thing that led to Saul's downfall. Saul was consumed by jealousy. He was consumed by jealousy. See, Saul got in trouble because in 1 Samuel 18, verse 17, he heard a song. He heard some ladies singing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. What I want to say, jealousy crept into his heart. Now, I want you to know something. Jealousy will destroy a ministry. Jealousy will destroy a life. Somebody said jealousy is the easiest thing to see in others and often the hardest to see in ourselves. It's the easiest thing to see in others, but often the hardest to see in ourselves. I want to tell you, a sign of maturity is when we're proud for other people. A sign of maturity is when we rejoice in the good things that are happening with other people. See, I've been in church since I was 17. I'm 54. And this is what I've learned about church people. This is what I've learned about ministers. Many times we weep well together, but we don't rejoice well together. And I want to say, Pastor, many times if you step out and you start growing, your church starts growing and your church starts progressing, before long you'll be labeled a compromiser. Before long, some of the pastors that used to hang out with you don't hang out with you anymore. Because to a certain extent, you've shed a light on what they're not doing or maybe perhaps are doing. But jealousy can creep in. And it crept in to Saul's heart. Now, you say, in ministry, what's the greatest thing we can do to combat jealousy? Here's the greatest thing you can do. Be a kingdom Christian. Be a kingdom Christian. Realize it's not about your local ministry. It's not about your local church. It's about God's kingdom. And you're just a part of the kingdom. And when the kingdom wins, we all win because we're all on the same team. Saul got in trouble because he was consumed by jealousy. Let me tell you the sixth thing about Saul. Saul lost all sense of integrity. Saul lost all sense of integrity. So in 1 Samuel 19 and 6, he swore by his son Jonathan, "Jonathan, I'm not going to do anything against David." But in 1 Samuel 19, verses 9 and 10, shortly after he said that to Jonathan, he's throwing a javelin at David, trying to kill him. He lost all sense of integrity. What was interesting, Saul becomes king, and he outlaws the witches and the mediums and the spirits in the land. But in 1 Samuel 28, 9, he's literally going to the witch of Endor for information. The very sin that he had condemned. I want you to know something. This progress led to the fact that he lost all sense of integrity. I know you want to be used by God. I know you do. You wouldn't be listening to this recording today if you didn't want to be used by God. But I want you to understand something. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says this. The Bible says Jesus ordained the 12 that they might be with him. And then he sent them out to preach and cast out devils and heal the sick. But before they cast out devils, healed the sick, before they did any of that, he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. And we have a responsibility to stay in fellowship with God. I want you to understand, more than anything, more than God wants you to do anything, he wants you to be. And many times, we're wanting God to do something through us when he has not done anything in us. So I would challenge you, stay close to God. Stay clean. Stay close. Stay clean. Missionary Bertha Smith used to always begin her messages by saying, "Are you confessed up?" Men, ladies, she would say, "Are you confessed up?" That is, keep yourself close to God. And it's amazing what God will do in your life. Because I say emphatically, God wants to use you. You say, "Nobody knows my name." Perhaps they don't. Adrian Rogers said, "We'll have to get to heaven before we find out who the big preachers really are." And I believe what Adrian said was true. We'll have to get to heaven before we find out who the great preachers really were. You just stay close to God. Let God do something in your life. Let God do something in your life. And it's amazing what God will do through your life. Because he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. That they might be with him. God bless you. Thank you for today. And let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you. I praise you for the men and women that have joined us today. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray you use their lives in an extraordinary way. Be with them, be with their families. Help them to realize, God, they're not called to be successful. They're not called to be famous. God, you've just called us to be faithful. And Lord, if we're faithful, we will be used of you. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.